Your Bibles to Matthew 19 to 1 Corinthians 7.
We are, Lord willing, going to continue on from where we were last Sunday. And thankful that things have worked out rather well since last Sunday, especially with everything that happened last week. And we're just praising God for that. But didn't get a chance to finish the message last week. And so, you know, we can't just leave it hanging. So we're going to not quite pick up where we left off. We're going to rewind a little bit because it's a different audience here this morning. And I'll do my best to make sure that it's not exactly the same. But it is still God's word and God's word to it this morning. So thank you for coming. Good to see all of you. And I trust that you are ready to be with me this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, once again, we come to your word, looking at some passages that, some verses that speak to your people, but in particular, a unique set of your people, of your family. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak not only to their hearts, but to all of us, as we all seek to live out your truth, to be known, to know your truth, and to help others to live in it, and to be supportive. Father, we pray this morning that your Spirit would guide and direct the preaching of your word. May my words be your words today, and may your truth touch our hearts as meant by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 19, I'm going to pick up in verse 10. The disciples said to him, meeting Jesus, if such is the case of a man with his wife, Jesus just got done talking about divorce, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. Verse 12, for there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have been made, who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it. And in 1 Corinthians, selected passages, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Verse 6. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Verse 25. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. God's word for us this morning. And maybe you're thinking, why are we talking about this? Well, this summer we've been focusing on messages about being grounded in God's Word, about what it means to be human. And part of the human experience for many, for all of us maybe for a short time, or for a longer time, is that of being single or being widowed, a widower, losing one's spouse, or perhaps even a divorce situation. Can I marry? Should I marry? How am I supposed to live my life? What is God planning for me? And most of today's message is going to apply mainly to those who are younger and not yet married or adults who could marry. Again, my purpose is to encourage. To encourage those who are not yet married or not married and may not be married at all, and provide a sense of peace for you as you strive to live your life for the Lord. For too long and far too often, singleness has been treated as a secondary issue, and single people have been treated as somebody who needs to be taken care of, as if you are not normal or something like that. And that is not correct. That is not right. That should not be. Jesus and the Apostle Paul and many others that we talked about last week have been and were single. Many throughout church history who have done great things for the Lord and for society were single. God works in a variety of people's lives for His glory and for His kingdom. And so this message today, please understand, while it might be for younger men and women who are single or for teenagers who are thinking about, hey, Lord, what's my future like? What do you mean? And maybe hope to one day be married. That desire to be married is good. And most people can and should seek a spouse. Yet it is possible that God may call some to a life of singleness. And parents, we've got to be prepared for that. Church, we've got to be prepared for that. It might happen. And while it is good for parents to desire their children to grow and to be married and to have kids of their own, we could have grandkids. That's a wonderful blessing and opportunity. God might not have that for everyone in our families or in our church. God has a plan, though, and it's a good plan, and we can trust Him. And when they and we submit to following Christ, we can trust that He will supply all that they need for a faithful and fulfilling life, knowing and serving Christ. And so today, I want us to look at and begin again with this first point, that being single is good and godly, and it provides advantages to serving the Lord that glorifies Him and is truly satisfying. We began last week by looking at being single is a good gift from God that is not for everyone. And we just read these verses. I'm not going to highlight them too much other than to say verse 12 of chapter 19, Jesus says, let the one who is able to receive this, the fact that you might be called to singleness, that maybe God allowed something in your life that is causing you to be single for some reason, let those who are able to receive it, receive it. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul talks about how it is good for men and women to not know a man and woman in a marital type sense. Same thing in verses 6 and 7. I wish that all were as I am, he says, but each has his own gift from God. And so we looked at how Jesus was asked about divorce, and he talks about how divorce is something that should be rare. It should not be something that is sought after. It should be something that is the absolutely last resort after every opportunity for reconciliation and forgiveness is provided for and worked through. The disciples are like, if marriage can be so difficult, it might be better not to marry. And Jesus is like, that's only for those who are able to receive it. It is a gift of God. And yes, it is a good gift. Singleness, though, is kind of, in our day and age, kind of thought of, kind of like the disciples were thinking of. Maybe it's better not to get married. I mean, after all, look at how many divorces there are. Look at how much abuse there is. Look at how much adultery is going on. How unfaithful people can be. Maybe it's just better not to get married and have to put up with all of that. And that's a very popular thing in our culture today, and it's something that I think we need to be very careful of. Singleness can be good, but it is not meant to be lived for selfish reasons. Many typically unbelievers And also too many believers are living in sin, entrapped in immorality and worldly thinking about marriage and children and family. We were created to be fruitful and multiply. The command to humanity to be married and to have kids and to create societies that know and love God has never been rescinded. The Great Commission is a part of that. It is through having godly families and godly churches and then godly societies and nations that the gospel is partly proclaimed and God is glorified throughout the earth. And many, unfortunately, today are too confused about what it means to be a man or a woman or a husband or a wife and find hard, difficult things, difficult relationships, something that they just don't want to enter into. They don't want to do the hard things. And that is a scary proposition for anyone in any culture, in any church. We must be ready to stand up and say, yes, this is difficult, but I am going to let the Lord lead me through it. I will do what is good and right, no matter how difficult it might be. Marriage can be tough, but it is good. Singleness is good, and it can be tough as well, as we're going to get to in just a moment. Being single here is taught by the Lord and the Apostle Paul through the Spirit as being good, a gift from God. It is never an option for selfish reasons. Oh, I just want to live on my own. I don't like people. I just want to be out in the woods somewhere all by myself and nobody disturb me and I don't have to disturb anybody else. I won't mess up anybody else's life. Nobody's going to mess up my life. That's not what this is about. Jesus says it's a calling. It's a gift. It is for those who can receive it. There are some who choose to be this because they have a calling on their life that they are accepting from God. It is good for those who are able to receive it. And what Jesus and Paul are saying here about receiving and gifting is pretty much the same thing. Making room, making space, submitting to, embracing God's calling upon my life. Well, how do I know if I have that calling? How do I know, Pastor Andy? I want to know. I want to get married. Is this what God has for me? Well, are you ready to accept the fact that God might be calling you to live a life devoted to Him more often or more so than maybe others? That He might have a special thing that He wants you to do, and so maybe He's not brought you a spouse for a particular reason. Are you willing to joyfully submit and accept that and walk in that, trusting that He is good and He has good things in store for you? Singleness, celibacy are not typical, yet there are some who are called to it. And being so does not make a man or a woman a lesser man or a woman. They're not secondary. They're not second place in the church or in society. It is a gift to be received joyfully from the Lord if that's what He provides. Notice in verse 6, Paul says that he tells the Corinthians about being single as a concession. It's not a command, but it is something that sometimes the Lord brings into individuals' lives. He thinks that it is good. I mean, he says, I want you to be just like I am, and there's good reasons for that, but I'm not commanding you to be that way. See, the Corinthians were having some struggles. Corinth was one of the most wicked, promiscuous, immoral cities of the ancient Roman Empire. And I'm not going to get into all those details. Those of you who know what those words mean know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I mean, let's just say they were very naughty in every way possible, not pleasing God. And the believers were coming out of that lifestyle. And they were like, what am I supposed to do? Should I? And they had all these questions. And so Paul is trying to address them. And Jesus addressed them as well, as we've already read. And they both say that singleness is a good gift from God that's not for everyone and is about serving the King. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the church. It's about sharing the gospel. It's about planting churches. It's about caring for the needy and the poor and the orphans, maybe more so in other ways that the church and married folk, we don't just get to do. That's why Jesus says, for the sake of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35, Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. Same for unmarried women. married men and women, they are anxious about that, but they're also anxious about their spouse and their kids. And he doesn't want to put a restraint on somebody who feels this calling to live their life completely devoted for the Lord. But he does want to give good order for the family, for the church, and to support those who have this undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, yes, all believers are called to serve the Lord, to serve the kingdom of God, to serve the church. But Jesus and Paul here again both state that marriage can divide our attention. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's something to be considered. Our focus as married men and women is to be on our spouse. He talks about that in a variety of ways throughout this chapter. And in Ephesians and in Colossians, he talks about the goodness of marriage and how it points to the relationship God has with us through Christ. We are the bride of Christ as the church. Jesus is our husband, the groomsman. Marriage is good, but it's not for everyone. And it does not mean that married people can't serve the Lord and aren't faithfully serving. Of course we do, but it does mean that they are to be rightly concerned with each other, properly as God has called us to. The home life of those in ministry will look a bit different from those who are single than those who are married. I mean, just think about it. How many married people with kids, or married people not maybe don't have kids yet, could just pick up today and leave and go to some strange nation somewhere that takes all day to get to in a plane and just spend 6 months and just living off of how God provides? You ready to do that? I mean, yes, God can provide, God can do miracles and stuff, but think about what God has called each of us to, what God might call us to. There is great mission fields out there. There are mission fields in inner cities. The cities in the United States are some of the least churched cities in the world and in our nation. There's a calling, and sometimes it takes a married couple, and sometimes it takes a single individual to go and particularly minister to a unique people group. Jesus and Paul are saying here that having been given a gift of singleness and celibacy is to allow one to commit more fully to the ministry of the kingdom for the church, that the Lord and for the Lord, that might be more difficult for those who are married. For this reason, God may call for someone to remain single for a short time or for a lifetime so that they might give undevoted time to the Lord and to his calling. And when we read about worldly things here in this passage, these verses, not necessarily talking about things like money and power and the lust of the flesh that John warns us about in 1 John, those worldly things that are to be avoided. He's talking about the life in this world, what a married couple does for each other in every way, providing for each other and their needs, food and lodging and bills and sickness and schooling and shopping and all sorts of things that we focus on in this world. They're valid, and we should be concerned about them, appropriately speaking. But a single person's just got to think about themselves in that regard, and that's a good thing, taking care of yourself, mature enough to be able to do that, so that they can serve the Lord in a long term, or maybe perhaps in a very intense way. And so if you are here this morning, for some reason at this moment, you are single, seriously think about what your life is about and what it's been about. And I don't know the details of every person's life here, and this is not to put anybody down or anything like that. You may desire strongly to be married for a variety of reasons, and they all may be very, very good. But the question that I want to ask you to think about is, are you willing to wait? Are you willing to wait for God's man or woman for you, depending on your situation, who you are? And while waiting, focusing on maturing in your faith and in serving Christ. Are you willing to do the hard work of waiting and growing in holiness and godliness, devoting your time to serving the kingdom? Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about you can't have hobbies, you can't go hiking or running or kayaking or whatever it might be, and that you have to be like in a ministry vocation where you get paid for serving the Lord. Not necessarily. What I'm saying is that in this time, in this moment of your life, what is your ultimate aim and focus? And for all of us, it should be about serving the Lord, growing in faith and maturity in Him. But especially for those who are wondering, what do you have for me at this point in my life? For whatever reason, you might be single. Are you willing to wait and be patient, trusting that God is a good God and He is never late and He never withholds good things from His people? He brings them to us at just the right time. He knows us and He knows what He wants to do with us in our life. And what we can do, what can be done in a life surrendered to God is incredible. So are you willing to use maybe the time that you might devote to a family to a Christian family, the church family, the kingdom of God? There are many opportunities in which this kingdom can be served in a lot of ways that married folks can't. Are you willing to wait, knowing that waiting for God's best for you is far better, even though it might be difficult, than rushing into a relationship that could be torturous or dangerous? One verse that I came across this week as I was restudying this was from Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a spouse, a good wife, finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Finding means looking. Please, if you are single and you believe God's called you and you've got the desire to marry and to have children, if you fully believe that that's where God's leading you, then seek. That's good. And there are many good ways to do that. Seek. But in the seeking, as you're finding, as you're looking, serve the Lord and grow in holiness and grace so that you are ready for the one who is also looking for you. Prepare yourself for the one that God is bringing you to so that they are finding the person that God has been wanting them to have as well. A godly spouse is found, and often that means being willing to wait and focusing on becoming the man or woman of God that He has called you to be. All this leads us to understand that singleness, again, is a gift. It's a calling of the Lord for serving Him. But that being said, while marriage can be difficult, so can singleness be difficult. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 19:12, let the one who is able to receive this. This is not an easy life, singleness. It's not easy being married either, but singleness has its own unique difficulties. There's temptation of sexual immorality. There's temptation of a lack of self-control. And if that's part of your life, strive for holiness. Seek to be married, and I know many are. One aspect of singleness and remaining unmarried that needs to be considered is that of temptation and self-control. There's a good reason to seek marriage for most people. Marital intimacy is a good gift from God that is to be experienced only in marriage. And unfortunately, the way our society works, you know, we get married later in life after we've grown, our bodies have grown to maturity to desire married life. And some of you are thinking, you bet, Pastor Andy, that's me. I want that life. That's my situation. Why am I not married? Well, I don't know. I don't know your life. I don't know God's plan for you exactly in every detail. But keep holding on to the fact that your Heavenly Father is good, and He wants to give you good gifts, and that He does so for those who walk uprightly, Psalm 84:11. You can trust that God is going to bring good things into your life. Yes, there might be trials. Yes, there might be testings. Yes, there's going to be difficult times, and God is going to use those in your life strengthen you and to sharpen you to become the man or woman He wants you to be, so that you will be the husband or wife that He wants you to be. And above all, of course, the servant of God He wants you to be. So no matter the reason for your current situation, being prepared for temptation, growing in self-control is vital. This is one reason why singleness and celibacy is considered a gift from God. That lessened desire for marital intimacy is a part of that gifting of singleness and celibacy. And for some men and women, this is so. And that's not a bad thing. That's just how God has created you. For others, that's not so much the case. For whatever reason, you're like, I desire this, but God hasn't brought this to me yet. Sin is very difficult to overcome for anyone. And so strive to remain pure, both in and if God provides, during marriage. Flee from temptation. All of us should be ready and willing to flee from temptation. Do what we need to do. Willing to cut off our arms, gouge out our eyes, if, as Jesus teaches, if that is what is necessary, so that we can grow in holiness and not give in and fall into sin and temptation. Paul recognizes that singleness and celibacy are difficult biologically and spiritually, and that marriage is good and proper, and for many, the better option. And it is good to seek marriage, but it is not good to be obsessed with marriage. And I think sometimes in the church, we have been a little obsessive with marriage. Everybody's got to get married. You know, if you don't get married, what's the matter with you? You know, that kind of attitude. And that hurts, because there are so many who it seems to be out of their control. For those who desire to be married and are not yet married, it is good for you to desire that. But it is critical for you and your potential future spouse that you do all that you can to remain pure until marriage. Remembering that God wants that for you too, and He will supply everything that you need to stay pure and faithful to Him and to a future spouse. We must never forget that Christ is willing and ready to forgive any and all sin. As we've sung about this morning, as Tom read to us this morning, any sin can be forgiven if we genuinely confess that, yes, this is sin. I have done this, Lord, and forgive me for breaking your word, for breaking your law. Give me what I need to continue moving forward. Jesus will forgive and can restore if we will seek it and trust in Him to do so. 1 John 1:8. Singleness is good. Can be difficult. Provides opportunities, unique opportunities to serve Christ. And it can also be, as we've already looked at briefly, and we'll continue as we finish this up, it can be advantageous. That doesn't mean that marriage is wrong or bad or anything like that, but there's just certain things to certain lives that just are a little bit more advantageous. I don't want to say better or best, because it depends on your situation. In verses 25 through 27, he says there's less concern in this present distress. Verse 26, this present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. So if you're married, stay married. Don't change that. And if you're not married, it's okay to not be married. It's all right. There's flexibility here. The betrothed he is referring to is those who are engaged to be married. They're not married yet. And I'm applying this even to singles, those who are wanting and desiring marriage. And Paul, according to verse 25, is giving authoritative counsel. He says that I haven't got a direct word from the Lord about this. He's taught me many things, but He never came alongside of me and said, now this is what you got to teach about this type of situation. And again, it's the situation in Corinth. They're struggling because many of them are believers out of a Gentile pagan religion in which promiscuity and immorality was like the thing to do, and the more promiscuous you were, the better you were looked upon in society. And now they're being taught holiness is what God has called us to. And so they're struggling. Should I leave my wife? Should I even think about getting married? Is intimacy, is that a good thing? Because my whole life I was doing it wrong according to God's word. What should I do? And so Paul's like, you know, I don't have an exact word from the Lord on this, but what I do know from the Lord, this is what I say to you and counsel you. And so according to the Spirit leading him and inspiring him to write these words in this letter, he tells the Corinthians, good reason for being single is due to the present distress. What's going on here? Don't rush to change your situation if you're going through a rough time. Now, this present distress, different pastors, different scholars, different professors, everybody's got a different idea about what this means. I think that we should just look at 1 Corinthians 7, the book of 1 Corinthians, and the situation in Corinth, and say, what's the big deal? Well, it's this idea of they're struggling with what to do with their lives regarding marriage and singleness. Paul's counsel then is for a people who are married, stay married, and for those who are single, be single. But it's not a command. There's flexibility here, even in the language. In other words, it's good to be married, it's good to be single. Don't get all worked up about it. Don't be so focused on this world that you're like pulling your hair out, wondering what you should do. Just relax. Be faithful to the Lord and let Him lead you where He's going to lead you. Don't make singleness or marriage an idol. Don't set it up too high in a pedestal and make life all about that. Just be ready and willing to follow the Lord and submit to His calling on your life. Because life is about honoring Christ for the believer, serving Him through the way that He has gifted us. And some were apparently so distraught over this issue of whether or not I should get married or not, and the desire for intimacy and not, that they thought that they might have been living in sin. But Paul says, no, being single is not a sin. Being married is not a sin. It avoids certain struggles. Basically, he's saying this present world is passing away. Don't be so focused on it that you're losing your mind and your heart or your faith over it. There's no need to feel guilty if you're single for being single. There's no need for feeling guilty if you're married. Neither one has an advantage over the other, but they each have their own advantages. The world and all that is in this world will eventually pass away. Even marriage will come to an end. For Christ says, in the eternal kingdom, there will be no marriage. It is for this time, this realm only. So while we're here on earth, there are things that are going to pass away, and it's what is done for Christ that will last for eternity. That is the ultimate. That is what we all are to be aiming for. And that is where life is truly found to be most satisfying. I'm following Christ. I'm living for Him. He is equipping me. He is helping me to overcome temptation and difficulties. Knowing Him and serving Him and serving His church is the greatest thing that you can do. Yeah, it's tough at times. We're sinners who are forgiven, and sometimes we're not gracious, and sometimes we're not the best that we should be. But God is good, and He will supply all that we need. Our priorities, our perspectives must be taken into consideration when considering marriage or remarriage or remaining single. When he talks about the things of this world, again, he's not talking about lust of the flesh, the eyes, you know, power, these kinds of things. He's just talking about the fact that sometimes our attentions are divided. Sometimes there's certain things that's easier just to do because you're single than you are or would be if you were married. There are relationship conflicts in marriages. There are relationship conflicts amongst singles. Health concerns for spouses and sorrows at losing spouse or losing children or losing jobs or a home. All these things can make life difficult, and they can be amplified in marriage. And so Paul's like, you singles, you kind of do have an advantage without having to experience all of that. Not that some of that isn't applied in a single person's life either. But marriage is still good. Being single can be good. And often being married helps in certain things. But for both the married and the single, but especially the single, you have an unique opportunity to draw closer to those who are in the body of Christ. And to attach yourself to the body of Christ, the church, as your family. Your spiritual family, yes, and to an appropriate way, a physical family. And the church should be ready to respond and to live and treat our singles in such that way as well. Being single is good and godly, and it provides advantages to serving the Lord that glorifies Him and is truly satisfying. So just two main life lessons from this, drawn from what we've already talked about. If you are single this morning, whatever age, whatever reason you are, spend time with God to determine if you're called to singleness. And if so, be ready and willing to be fully satisfied in the Lord and in serving Him. It's a great thing. It's a great calling to love others in Christ and to serve those in Christ. Singleness is not about convenience or comfort, but it's about what God is calling you to do in your life. Spend time with the Lord. Draw close to Him. Learn from Him in His Word and from other people in the church who can offer spiritual guidance to determine whether or not you should remain that way. And it's good to seek a spouse, but if the Lord is calling you to a life, a different life, that is a good thing as well. If you're very young and single yet still, keep striving to be holy, be mature man, woman of God, who's preparing to be a spouse for somebody, a young man, a young woman. Be patient, surrender to His will. And then finally, for us as a church, our single brothers and sisters are not projects to be fixed. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're trying to find their way in this world just like we are. They're just in a different type of situation. So may we support them. May we draw near to them. May we love them. Not because they're single, but because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't want to draw attention to an area of their life unnecessarily that maybe they're kind of, I don't know yet. So let's be careful with our words and with our encouragements. May it really, truly be an encouragement. They're not broken necessarily. Now, there might be some brokenness in their life that we can address and help them address, but it's not our job necessarily to be matchmakers. Let's treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our role in their life is to be like that of others, to support them as they seek to live according to God's will, whatever that might look like. Spend time together with them. Invite them over to your house. Take them out for coffee, pie, whatever it is. Be the family that they need so that they're not lonely, so that they know that they're not alone, so that they know that they have somebody they can come to who loves God just as much as they do and wants God's will for them just as much as they do. And yes, parents, it is good and right for us to desire that our kids would get married and have kids. We want to be grandmas and grandpas, but we don't get to control if that happens. We can prepare them, and we should, but we need to be ready to leave our children in God's hands. And if God should, in His sovereign will, lead them to a life of singleness for whatever reason, then we need to be ready to embrace that with them and support them. Let us all be supportive to the Lord's calling in everyone's life, helping each other to be holy and pure, trusting that God has a good plan for everybody's life and allowing them to love that life, helping them to love that life wherever God has called us to. Being single is good and godly and provides advantages to serve the Lord that glorifies Him and is truly satisfying. Let us pray to that end and serve one another to that end if that is the situation that God has called you to. Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate that. And if there's more that you'd like to talk about concerning this, I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk with you and pray with you and help you to seek God's will for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the fact that it teaches us that you are a good and gracious God who loves us. You've created us and you have redeemed us that we might be your children, that we might follow your will for our lives to serve you, whether that be married or single. You will provide everything that we need to live the life that you have called us to. Father, for those who are seeking, for those who are searching, for those who are not quite yet sure of what their life will look like, for those who are dreaming about what life could be, I pray that you would give them hope, that you would give them the guidance and direction through your Spirit, through your word, through their families, through this church, to be comfortable, accepting of who you've called them to be in Christ, that you will provide every need that you have given them, every desire that you have given them in your good time. Father, may we as a church be ready to support our brothers and sisters in Christ to that end. We thank you for your love and for your grace for each one of us. And we pray that we would walk in it throughout this day and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.